Blog Talk Radio.
You know it is. This country is made up of a lot of good people. You know, every society has some bad people in it. But the majority of this American people and the majority of our history has been about trying to help people. We've had bad things in our history. But the United States of America overall has provided a better standard of living, not only for our people, but for the world, has done some great things. And it's because we were built on some basic principles, God's principles, whether you like for them to come from there or not, God's principles. This is Contending for Truth Radio. We thank you, D-Rock Country, for that song and the use of that song each week. That and Keep On Keeping On, as we use often. In fact, we can use any of his songs at any time we want. He's given us permission for that, and he's a great musician. Writes some powerful words, and go to drockcountry.com if you get a chance, and check out some of the rest of his music. He's got some great, great patriotic music, and we want to give him a shout-out. We are going to have a great Parental Sovereignty Radio show tonight. A lot of things going on. We've got Obamacare and we've got Obamacore, and they are both identical in a lot of ways, in method of putting them together, in method of hoisting them on the American people, very, very similar in actually the real reason why they're put together, the intended purpose. And we're going to have a great show. You know, if you go to the archives, you want to go back and listen to last night's show. Rodney Stanhope did a show from out here in California. I joined him a couple of times. But he talking about last night and the government showed it, shut down and so on and so forth, you can find that archive right there at the top of the Contending for Truth radio page there at Blog Talk Radio. So I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to that. Yeah, great, awesome discussion. And Elizabeth Imken showed up. Jennifer Lantrose, Elizabeth Imken showed up. If you don't think that wasn't interesting, and maybe later on in the show we'll kind of tell that story a little bit, why that was kind of interesting. But we've got Jennifer with us, and we've got Dan with us. We know we'll have Rodney with us here shortly. He is a busy, busy man up and down the state of California, and he'll be calling in momentarily. You know, there's a lot going on, Jennifer, Dan. Right now, our country's in a shutdown, which I don't think is really, when it comes down to it, too bad. You know, it's dysfunctional anyway, so just don't let it run. I'd like to see it actually shut down for about 4 or 5 years straight and see if we get any bad side effects. I don't think we will. We're willing to try Common Core that we have no clue as to what the result's going to be, and we don't worry about the side effects. So why don't we just leave that whole system just shut down, let the states handle it for a while. I'm good to go with that. Jen, I'm going to bring you in first, and then I'll pass it on down to Dan. Jennifer Montrose, I know things are going really, really well there in Alabama, and I'm going to pass it to you for your comments on the current events of the day and what's going on in Alabama. Jennifer must be sidetracked. Jennifer. Well, then we will pass it to Dan. Dan, down in Florida, how are you doing?
Great, and I agree with you 100%. I think we'd actually do better just letting the states do their thing and let the federal government just shut them down and leave them alone. You know, if they can leave us alone, you know, this country would recover. You know, this administration, I wrote a piece on it last night, and I am a firm believer he's trying to destroy this country. And, you know, the faster we get this guy out of office, the better off we are. This Obamacare, or whatever you want to call it, is a total fiasco. It'll never work. It cannot. We can't afford it. You know, it's just a put-on. And what it is, you know, it's designed really to push the socialist movement and to take our Constitution. You know, Obamacare in itself is against our Constitution. And this is just one of many things this guy has done that is harming us and not helping us. He likes to make it sound like it's going to help the country, and the guy is just I don't know what to say about him. I mean, and what's going on right now, the shutting down the government. I don't know if he's caught that piece on Fox, where they were going to block 120 World War II vets. You know how they have that program that flies in World War II vets to the World War II Memorial? And it was all blocked off, and they got some people to move sawhorses and Capitol Police let them go. And I thought it was funny. And they interviewed one of the Capitol Police officers. He goes, "I'm not going to stop these people. I'm a veteran myself, and I would have been proud to have served with these people." So there are still some good Americans around. Actually, I think the majority of us are good, solid people, but we've lost faith in our country. And what we need to do is bring back that American spirit, that spirit we had, 300 years ago, that experience, that belief from, just 50 years ago. Look at how we went into World War II. I mean, and look at how proud we were as a nation. And we went in there saying, you drew blood, and we're going to finish it. And from day one, I mean, we went from a seventh-rate military to the biggest military in history in under 2 years. And this is what this country's capable of. And we did it. It was pride in America. And it was like, we are not going to let the Japanese, we are not going to let the Germans attack us, not get away with it. And now we're here with 9/11, that actually more people died on September 11th, 2001, than did in Pearl Harbor. And we have a president now who is such a pansy. He's not willing to go out and finish the job. And he's meeting with, the president of Iran. Why? I mean, whose side is he on? I am totally disgusted. He has most countries angry at us. We just need to get rid of him. I mean, it's... but there's nobody in Congress that has the nerve to do it. And, and it's sad that the people we elected are turning their backs on us. And, this whole... What is it, 6 years now? And we haven't had a budget? I mean, what's wrong? This is some major problems here. And nobody's doing anything about it. This is why we got to get going on the grass movements. And we got to get people in here that are going to make the changes and get rid of this pile of crap we have in Washington. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we should throw every single one of them out of office. I am just so fed up, with the way this country's being run. And, now they're trying to push this Common Core on us. Thank God Florida finally stood up against it. So we are getting some states that are finally going to say no, no to this. So there is some hope. But we got to get more people involved, more people out on the streets, you know, talk to and spread the word, and let's get this country back in order. And that's about it for opening the statement. Back to you, Scott.
And we have Jennifer Montrose. You know, Dan, you made some really important points. And, you know, we all agree on one thing. There are certain aspects of the liberal policy that we agree with. We all agree that people that are in need, they should have some help. We all agree with that. We all agree that the schools should be the best they can, and that it should have a nice environment to learn in, a safe environment to learn in. We all agree that you have to spend, the government, federal government, has to spend money on certain things. We know that by collectively putting our taxes together, we've got a very, very fine highway system in this country. There are certain things that we agree with. What we disagree with is the solution. And when it all comes down to it, the solution that the far left puts out is not even the solution that the Democratic Party, the bulk of them, really even believe in. And, you know, if they were just intellectually honest about the man in office, he's inept. He's not creating solutions that fix the stated problems. And Obamacare is that way. Common Core is that way. All of these problems that he's addressing, they're not. The problems, the solutions are not designed to fix the problem that is stated. And that's where the lie comes in. And Jennifer Montrose is down there in Alabama. Things are rocking. You know, Jennifer, we've had a few earthquakes out here in California. I think it's because Alabama is rocking, and we're feeling the aftershocks out here. I wish you could say that. We have 200 or 300 earthquakes a day out here somewhere in California. Jennifer Montrose, how you doing down there in Alabama?
Well, I'll tell you what. I got, you know, I have a friend of mine, very, very dear friend of mine, who voted in this last election for the Democrat on the national level. Okay. She called me up today, and she is totally upset. She said, "What is this guy doing? What is he doing? I can't afford to buy health insurance, and they're going to make it mandatory? And what is this with the government shutdown?" And all I could say was, I didn't vote for him, and I didn't vote for anybody connected to him. And so she says to me in the past, you know, they're all politicians are corrupt. And I said, well, you know, that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm involved. That's why I'm engaged, because there are some people that just don't know. They don't want to know. They don't think that it's going to really matter. But I can guarantee you, once the war was over during the Third Reich and they opened up the fence to allow people to go into those concentration camps, people in that town were crying out loud, they lied to us. Why did they lie to us? They lied to us. And it was loudly heard all across the country. You know, and I'm looking at 2013, and I'm beginning to hear those same cries from the American people. And they still are doing the blame game. They're not wanting to hold themselves accountable. So, America, we have to wake up. And we have to hold their feet to the fire. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whoever is our elected official, we have got to hold their feet to the fire. Because we got some people that say one thing and do another. And we need to make sure that when we're seriously voting this time around, that we are making a conscious effort to understand the issues and what the candidate is really all about, or else we're going to have another 2016 election, you know, and I can hear it now, people saying they lied to me again. You know, I mean, when, I mean, even the homeschoolers now are really concerned, because now they're being mandated. You have to get, you know, I was talking to someone today that said if you don't get the insurance that you need to cover your butt, then they're going to try to slap some sort of fine on you for not taking your kid to school because you don't fall under their rules and regulations. You know, and as a parent, I want the choice. I want the school choice for my son. You know, I do not want him to be indoctrinated into this new liberal mindset. You know, because there's some things that are just not okay with me. I mean, just like, you know, girls and boys sharing the same bathroom or the same, you know, and I just think that is totally inappropriate. We were talking about this the other day. How many times do you see it on television now where the teens are openly out of the closet on television? Kids don't even know they haven't even been able to figure out who they are as an individual yet. You know, and the propaganda, this media stuff that says, you know, it's okay. Things are, you know, when I was in school, there were certain things we had a moral compass. And I think that what the left wants to do is to remove the moral compass so far off the map that we'll be so desensitized to it that when it finally comes up and hits us in the face, we're going to wonder how did this happen? How could I have allowed, these people have lied to me? You know, and you know, we have a guy who's in office right now who is saying one thing and doing something else. We have a lot of politicians doing the same thing, you know. So I'm going to turn it over to Scott. Scott?
Jennifer, it's so true. And man, we got some crappy politicians on both sides of the aisle. Now, I'm a firm believer that the far left has a basic premise, and that is that the ends justify the means. And I believe because of that, and I believe because they don't hold to a standard, the majority of those people have no faith in God whatsoever and no belief in a standard. They believe that morality, anything goes. There's not a standard, except for their standard, what they think is right and wrong, and that's what they want everybody to fall into. And that their belief, an example of that would be, you and I, if we say something that's offensive, we should be told to shut up. We shouldn't be allowed to say that. You know, Jennifer, I was reading comments. I love to read comments online for articles. And I was reading some comments the other day on an article about how the Chinese, they don't let their people have any kind of freedom of speech. And their bloggers go to jail and so on and so forth. And one of the comments in there was, I don't understand why people would be upset about people not being allowed to lie. And you know, we all know that lying is wrong. We all know that we do it sometimes. We fail. We're all human beings. But once you've made that statement, then there's another statement that you've made. It's there. It's hidden. It's kind of like those embedded taxes. It's hidden, but it's there. And that statement is, now you have to have somebody decide what is a lie. And once that's where you get into the problem. It isn't that we wouldn't love everybody to just tell the truth. Oh, my goodness, wouldn't we love it if we could find some way to make Washington, D.C. tell the truth. But there's no way you can accomplish that task. The left, their precepts are to remove hurdles, not to help you use your hurdles to make you stronger. That's their whole foundation. And we know because of that, there are far left Democrats who are willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get anything. Unfortunately, we have some Republicans that are exactly the same way. That's why, Jennifer, you know, man, this makes three candidates in Alabama 7. But Matt Jenkins is a good guy. You know him real well. I'm getting to know him pretty good, and he's a good guy. And he's going to run in Alabama 7. And we're going to, you and I are never going to stop saying Alabama 7 until we take Alabama 7. That's for sure. And I think this could be it. I really think this could be it. And you, Jonathan Barbee that we had on last week, man, these are guys that we know when they get in, they're going to hold by their principles. They're going to stand by their principles. You know, we had not long ago, but when we were still doing conservatives coast to coast, we had a man come on. He was responsible for the Clinton Chronicles. Larry, and his last name has just left me. But he was involved in politics for a long time. In fact, Dan, he's somebody I've got on the list. We'll get him on the show on Saturday. He's got, man, you want to talk about somebody that's got some experience in politics. He's got a fabulous resume. We had him on the show a couple of times. He was the campaign manager for one of the candidates that was running. And, you know, one of the things I learned, Larry Nichols, thank you, his name came back to me, Larry Nichols, one of the things that I learned over the last 3 years that is at the very top of the list is something that Larry said. And Larry said he would not go to work helping this candidate. He was asked personally by a friend to take over the campaign. He'd been, I don't think, really involved in politics for a long time. But he said, sure, I will, but only one condition. When she gets to Washington, D.C., you don't let them pick your staff. You pick your staff. He says, if you do that, I will be your campaign manager. And we talked about that. And it really comes to the crux, and I'm going to pass it back to you, Dan, because I know you have strong feelings about this. I know Jennifer does as well. It goes to the real problem that we have is we get behind a candidate, we send them to Washington, D.C. Do they stay the same? Do they hold their ground like Ted Cruz? Whether you agree with him or not, do they hold their ground? Or, when they get there, do they let the money get a hold of them? We know, that money is a very powerful, powerful tool that Satan uses in order to take down the character of man. And we're talking about character, and, you know, I've got such full confidence in Jonathan Barbee. I am so excited that he's running. He is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. I know where he stands on moral issues. I know where he stands on what we watch on television. I know where he stands on the rights and the responsibilities of a mother and a father and a home. I know where he stands, and I'm excited. And I'm fully confident that he could go as far as he wants, and he will stay by his core. I believe that about Matt Jenkins. You know, Dan, you've got a governor down there that I've been disappointed with. He reminds me of John McCain. I don't ever know if he's going to be standing with us or against us. And I don't like that. I don't mind somebody being in the middle. You know, I don't mind them if that's where they truly believe. But, you know, most of the time it isn't because they really believe that. It's because they're playing the game. And that's the problem. And I'm going to pass it to you to draw it on that, because that's why what we've got in the Republican Party right now is why we're dealing with Obamacare and Common Core. We had some good people, a full group of good people up there. We wouldn't be dealing with this. This would have been dealt with a long time ago. Pass it to you, my friend.
Oh, I agree with you. This governor has flopped back and forth so many times. He's like a fish on a damn deck. His most recent one was saying he's against Common Core. 6 months ago, he said he was for Common Core. It's like all he's doing is he's trying to get some conservative votes. It's not that he believes in it. I don't have a doubt in my mind that if he is reelected, he'll be right back pro Common Core. Scott really, really disappointed me, as most politicians. They do go in, and unfortunately, I don't think Scott went in there with good intentions. He went in there for money. But they go up to Washington, and they're offered this money, and they switch. And see, the thing I don't understand is nobody can buy my integrity. And nobody can buy my honor. And if somebody offers me a lot of money to vote for this or vote for that, it's not going to work. And I know this. I've walked away from money before several times. And it doesn't, you know, I'd rather be able to sleep at night and be able to wake up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror and be proud of what I'm looking at instead of looking at a betrayer. It seems like we have a whole damn District of Columbia filled with Benedict Arnolds. You know, people are just buying, being bought off, and then they come up and tell us, oh, how great I'm doing. And this really, really, really pisses me off. You know, it's like, what are you up, you know? You're up there just so you can make money. What? I mean, you can't take it with you. It's not going to make you a better person. So you can afford a Mercedes and a country club. Big deal. But can you cannot buy what you're looking at in the mirror in the morning. And if you can look at yourself in the mirror and be proud of being a betrayer, then you're with Satan. You aren't with God. Our nation was formed under the rules of God. And that's what made us such a great country. And right up to the 50s, you know, our belief in God, and God is our foundation, was what made us the greatest country in the world. I mean, we had the morality, we had, you know, the belief that we're here to help the rest of the world. And we're losing all that because of this one, the far left, who says, no, we can't have, you know, they've twisted the Constitution. They've taken the First Amendment. And if you read the First Amendment, it's not saying remove God. It's saying give you the freedom to worship God in your own way. And they turned it around and twisted it around. And the Supreme Court did the same thing. And, you know, they're doing the same crap with the Second Amendment. You know, they're twisting around our Constitution to make it what it's not. We no longer have a Fifth Amendment. We no longer have a Fourth Amendment. And for all intents and purposes, you know, and they say, oh, it's for national security. No, it isn't. It's for Big Brother. And it's really, it really, really annoys me. And this president is doing all these things so he can have full control. He doesn't want to leave, you know, the freedoms that we had. You know, he doesn't believe in freedom. He wants to have full control over everything. And he wants the government to have full control over everything. He doesn't want anybody that, you know, he's anti-gun crusade is so we can't defend ourselves. And that's why he's building up his Homeland Security and you know, we need states that are willing to stand up and say enough is enough. And I wish I could say we would do it in Florida, but with this governor, until we get rid of this governor, we're going to be out of it. But we need states to really stand up and say, listen, we stand behind the Constitution in the United States, the Bill of Rights, and if you don't, that's your problem, but we're going to stand by what, you know, what this nation stands for. And Jennifer, over to you.
Dan, we have got Rodney is finally with us. Like I said earlier, he's busy. You know what, Rodney, we had a great time last night. And you and I got on the phone afterwards and we talked. And we're going to start a new show on Mondays. Rodney's going to do a show basically covering what's going on here in California. There's a lot of good things going. A lot of good things going on in California. And we really could take this party back and get there. I believe we can do it. We've got some good leadership, some pieces coming together. We've had a long, long, hard road. Rodney, I'm going to pass it to you to talk about and what's going on in California and the new show and what's going to have fun to do with it. Rodney, how you doing, my friend? A long time no talk. It's just only been about 24 hours.
Yeah, you know, and actually, Scott, thank you very much because last night, you know, most people don't realize you and I were chatting on Facebook and the entire emergency spur-of-the-moment show came together in like an hour and a half, you know, and that was an amazing show because Brian and I don't agree on almost anything, but yet we had a very candid discussion that apparently the current leadership in Washington can't have. The current leadership in California can't have because it's all about pandering to who gives you the big check, who gives you the big money, who are you beholden to, and that's all they care about. You know, and I have to say, Scott, since last night's show covering the shutdown of the national government, the Republicans have absolutely lost the battle in the public relations game today. First thing this morning, and let's go back in time. Nancy Pelosi, we will not negotiate with terrorists. Harry Reid, if you send me a bill that's not a clean CR, we will not discuss it. They put out there they won't talk about it. The Republicans shut down the government and then it becomes a PR game. And the very first thing this morning, the Republicans should have had this calculated. The very Congress gavels into session, and Nancy Pelosi's the first speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to save America. We have to work this out. And she reaches out her hand. She puts her hand out. I'm offering my hand as a peace offering. We have to save America. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Why do the Republicans not understand this game? And then you get Boehner all day long. He's too busy on Twitter telling his followers how it's, and he uses the word, their fault. Obama has a press conference at the Rose Garden and says, you have to understand the shutdown of America was caused by, and he uses his hands, one faction of one party of one legislative branch of America. He just gave you a target. He named the enemy. And I put on my Facebook, our leadership sucks at messaging what the problem is. You want it? They need to separate Obamacare and the budget are two different things, and the Republican Party cannot comprehend that. This entire discussion is because the Democrats have not allowed the passage of a budget since 2008. Health care is a totally separate issue. It went into effect today, and yet the computers don't work. The system does not work. People have regional coverage they can't get elsewhere. It's totally jacked. We were right. What are they doing? Missing the message.
And, Ronnie, that's, you know what, that's why I'm excited about this Monday show. Because, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Blog Talk Radio for Freedon Miller is personal to me. But I've watched something very special. Sometimes social networking is not really the best for advertising as it is for network purposes. And we got over the last 3 years, we've shared the Doc Miller story with a lot of people using Blog Talk Radio, and that's been great. But that's not where its strength has lied. Its strength has lied, and it was the battery for the movement. Every week, people come together and they listen to the Freedon Miller Show, and they find out the latest what's going on. They find out more about the story, and those people are active all week. And it has been a battery that has helped in that movement. We're getting ready on Thursday nights to do a new show for the IRP6 that we interviewed here recently on Contending for Truth Radio. It's a story of six wrongfully convicted men that are in prison. That should not be there. And it's a horrific story. You'll find out about that. And it's going to be that. I really believe, Rodney, that this show can help really, really, really be a battery in a movement in California to do exactly what you just said. Because if you sit down and you take the whole of the Republican Party in a big room and you stand up in front of them and you go, okay, we got to find out what our problems are and solve them. Because we got to fix this. We got to fix this. We know that that's really, really simple to do. Number one, quit arguing out on the fringe issue. Say, excuse me, I'm not even going to discuss that issue. It's way out there. This is where I believe on the basic. This is where I stand foundationally. And I'm not even going to argue that. That's nonsense. I'm going to stick with this basic. I'm going to go back to the basics of why I believe what I believe. Why I'm a conservative, why I believe that smaller government is better than bigger government, why I believe that the family and its core value in our country is very important. That doesn't mean that there's not a lot of single people out there totally contributing to society, and if that's the life they want, that's great. That's no problem. But we know that
Scott,
the family unit is for them. Go ahead, Rodney.
Well, you just mentioned, you know, unity within the family. This is how the Democrats are killing us.
That's right.
I swear to God, it's like the Democrats get up every morning to reveille like it's military at 6 a.m., and they all get a sheet of paper. and it's basically, hey, Scott, this is your talking point. Stay on topic or I'm going to kill you. And the Republicans go out there. You got Ted Cruz here. You got Peter King from New York over here. Boehner's over here. McConnell's over there. We're not on topic. They're killing us because they all say the same thing. If the Republicans would simply, the Tea Party, listen, Republicans, if you're listening to the show tonight, has been saying the same thing. Focus on the founding fathers of America and the United States Constitution. Less taxes, less government, more jobs. Focus, people. Get involved and focus. Stay on topic. But we're not on topic. We're not lined up in unity. They interviewed Pelosi, Reid, and about 50 other Democrats today, and every one of them sounded like a broken record. It's their fault. They interviewed 50 different Republicans, and they all had a different person to blame. They all had a different reason. They all had a different view for their vote. None of them are on topic.
Exactly.
It's
and you know what, Rodney?
Why we're getting killed.
I know it. And I want to pass it to Jennifer. You know, the Republicans used to be so incredibly good at messaging. And I think the bulk of us supported Herman Cain because we liked the way he said what he said. You could listen to Herman Cain and you could understand why he believed what he believed. And we have gotten so far away from that. We've let the news media mess us up. The left's basic tactic is ad hominem attacks. And, you know, if I were Matt Jenkins and I wanted to win Alabama 7, the first thing I would do is make sure that people that were listening to me understood that when you get into a debate and one side, all they can do is name call, that is a tactic, and that means they have no answer to the debate. If I were running, I would probably say that first thing to every single group of people that I talk to. Look at the other side and look at what they're doing. All they're going to do is throw names. All they're going to do is ad hominem attack. Jennifer, K. Carl answers that problem when it comes to racist. Even Brian last night at one point, Rodney said, you know, it's because he's black. No, it doesn't have anything to do with the color of his skin. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It has to do with the message. It has to do with the ideology. It has to do with the way of solving problems or pretending to solve problems. And K. Carl solves that in a huge way. By taking, you know, Rodney, you just talked about the basics. Frederick Douglass, he represents those basic Tea Party values. And so, Jennifer, I'm going to pass it to you. Take it away with that.
Well, you know, people want an answer. They want an answer. People want to know how to change things. And they're seeing what's happening right now, and there are just some things that, you know, people are already set up. Like I said earlier, I said I got a good friend of mine who called me up today, and she was just ranting and raving about, you know, the current events that are in the news right now with this government shutdown and health care and all that stuff, you know. And people are saying, how could we have so many people sit home in last year's election? Christians did not get off their couch and go vote. Why? You know, and people are trying to reach out to white voters. What are the, you know? Well, the Frederick Douglass Republican movement, the methodology, you know, is training people how to go out there and talk to people, other people of all races, you know, and so that they will, you know, once they find out that they have common ground with you, they believe in limited government, they have the belief in respect for life and the Constitution and personal responsibility, once they realize that they have a lot in common, you know, and you're not even talking about the party line at the moment, you're just talking about the issue and stuff, and what matters. And once you've gotten past that, then Once you get past that, then you have established a dialogue where you can inspire people to want to do something. People are upset. They did not know that this healthcare business was going to be this way, you know. And people are tired of the blame game. They want people to be held accountable. And, you know, we have a lady down here in Congressional District 7 in Alabama who, you know, she periodically throws her constituents a bone, you know, and it's usually around election time. The rest of it is, you know, she just totally ignores them. And, you know, we've got people around the United States right now where they're dealing with the issues of coal. People are afraid they're going to lose their jobs and, you know, and all that stuff. And, I mean, you know, it's time. You know, it's time to wake up. And I don't think that we're going to get anything accomplished sitting at home. You know, just the things that are going on with healthcare right now, you know, that it's just things have got to change. Things have got to change, you know. And there's things have got to go differently than they have been. If we don't do the necessary things to get out there and start talking to our neighbors and family and friends, I mean, you know, we're not asking people to go out there and try to get strangers to come on board. We want you to reach out and talk to the people that are close to you in your neighborhood. You know, one of the things that I do is when I talk to my son's friends, parents, you know, and I ask them, you know, what do you think about what's going on with your son or daughter's education right now? Well, does that matter to you? Is there anything that's happening in your school district, or, you know, what do you think is going on? Because my son goes to Riverside Middle School, you know. And so I want to know specifically what it is, you know, that you have issue with. I catch them on a friendship level, you know. And then we find out that we have some things in common, that we're concerned about certain issues. And then I can share with them certain places to go look up information on and get the facts. You know, and I say, you know, if you need to know more, here's my number. Call me. You know, let me know. And so we'll see. I mean, if you're not careful, you're going to be, like I said before, you're going to be one of those people in the crowd that says, you know, they lied to me. I don't get it, but, you know, people don't. If you're not able to, then to get it, you know, I'm sorry, but, I mean, we're out there screaming it, telling people, but, you know, people just don't think that it's something worthwhile. So, you know, with that, I want to pass it around again.
Oh, okay. I agree with you, Jennifer. People don't, well, it's not that they don't think it matters. They don't think they have the ability to create change. And it's like, you know, they look at it going, I'm only one vote. Washington's going to do as they please, no matter who we vote in. And it's a defeatist attitude. And as Rodney and Scott were talking earlier, it's part of the problem is the Republican Party has lost its ability to do marketing. They don't know how to sell why we are Republicans and why this is the way to go. And the second thing is nobody talks about where we came from. You know, I was talking to a person today who claimed to be a Republican who didn't even know who Frederick Douglass was. And, you know, I described who he was. And, you know, and it was like, I said, I use him because I said, he's the epitome of the American dream. I said, this person who was born into slavery manages in the course of his life to become a top one percenter. And I explained that if you have the drive, you have the belief, and you have the initiative, you can accomplish anything you want in this country. And you have the freedom to do that. And I like to bring back our forefathers. You know, think about why we broke away from England. It was taxation. Taxation without representation. And, you know, we said, we aren't going to be taxed unless we have somebody there who's going to be on our side. And the British said, the heck with you. And we said, heck with them. And we went out, started going around their blockades. And it started with the sinking of the Gatsby. And then the Boston Tea Party with the Stamp Act. And what we broke away from Britain was trivial compared to what's going on today. And what we have to do is go back and sit there and go, what were the pieces that came together that created our nation? And it wasn't because we got along with each other. I mean, the North and the South were fighting. We had major debates. Even when we came together, it took until 1812 before we really established ourselves as a nation. Then when we started opposing slavery in the open, you know, the South went ballistic, and, you know, we almost tore ourselves apart, but we came back together again. It took a civil war, and I don't want to see that again. By today's standards, it would be over 25 million deaths if we went through another civil war. And what's kind of weird is that we are seeing this nation divide, but flip-flop. The South is more towards constitutional, while the North, being liberal, is moving away from the Constitution. And what we need to do is we need to also stop listening to the far left and stop listening to the far right. The people running the GOP right now are a bunch of fools. I've never seen a more inept group of people And as you said, is Scott, is that everybody's talking, but there it's all the same thing. Where we have to turn around, we have to start educating, we have to start turning around and saying, like, this is a path. Why? Because it's worked for 250 years. We have to turn around and say, no, we are not against blacks. In actuality, and then we got to bring them, teach them about the Frederick Douglass and how we were the movement that were for the blacks. We have to turn around and say that we're the group that wants everybody to make, you know, to have the American dream. The other side is locking you into the welfare while we want to give you the tools so you can achieve the American dream, so you can own that house, so you can achieve. Yeah.
I got a question for you. This is a thought after, and I'll tell Scott, after last night's radio show, I talked to you on the phone till like 1:30 in the morning. Then I talked to Brian Dawson until long after that. And it suddenly popped in my head. Here's the solution, Dan, and I only disagree with you in the end result. What if the Republicans stood united? And here's the technique. Let's say I'm selling ShamWow. Okay, hypothetically. I'm at a fair, I'm selling ShamWow. I have a competitor selling a different product. My technique, personally, when you walk up and go, what about the other guy? I go, what other guy? I'm the only one here. I ask like they don't exist. Sales 101. Republican Party, when the Democrats mention African Americans or war on women, we kind of go, what? We're Republicans. What are you talking about? Don't act like they exist. Black people don't exist. Asian people don't exist. When I ran for vice chair, and Scott heard me make this statement one time, the Women's Republican Federated asked me, how are you going to bring the party together and incorporate minorities like African Americans and Asian Americans? And I went, I'm not. And they all went, what? And I went, I'm not. My grandmother immigrated here when she was 19 years old from Sweden. I have met people who've immigrated here from every country in America. Not a single immigrant to this country refers to themselves as a hyphenated name. They're American. So when the Democrats talk about African American, play stupid. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't recognize African American. I don't recognize Asian American. I don't recognize senior citizens. I don't recognize children. I recognize Americans. I recognize the people of this country. I do not see racial lines. Quit playing the race card. Period.
Do not let them suck
you into it.
I agree. The race card is something that should have gone away a long time ago.
What if we made it happen?
You know, I basically try not to get into that.
What would happen if in a debate between you and I, Dan, and I said, you don't even support African Americans, and you went, who? And you, what's the next question?
Right.
What's my comeback?
Oh, you're ignoring it, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
They don't exist. I don't see racial lines. And when people look at you and go, what do you mean you don't comprehend? Dan, you don't understand African American? No, I don't. I don't realize racial lines. I don't play that game. What's the opposition's comeback now?
And you guys, and Ronnie, you make a very important point. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what the left has always said. All of their little programs that are designed to make it that way. And it's supposed to be that way. But, you know, it pulls the underpinning out of a lot of their tactics and their solutions are designed to be in order to do that. Like, you know, Ronnie, you've got a debit card. I'm sorry about the dog barking in the background. We've got another call from the 5 area code. So somebody up there near you, if anybody want to come in, talk, we're interested in enjoying the show. Okay, they might be just sitting down. Go ahead. Okay, we're not here. You know,
But Scott, the bottom line is the fight. If the Republican Party took the fight to the left, this wouldn't even be a discussion. Separate health care, separate the budget. In fact, they have not passed a budget since 2008. Health care is a broken system. They're two totally independent and separate things. They're more worried about the fact that you say, you know, the Republicans are Romney hates women, and you stand up, you're going to go, really? Because I have a lot of staff members. I don't really pay attention to women and men. They're all qualified. And you basically go, piss off. You see racial lines, I don't. Take the game to them. You see racial lines. I can't wait till a Republican someday elected to office stands up to Al Sharpton and goes, you're the only one that sees racial lines. I don't. Period.
What's the same principle goes in the direction of welfare and the poor. You know,
yes.
Whenever they start telling us that we just don't worry about poor and needy and if you can die, we need to throw that back in their face and say, no. That's not what we want. We want more people that really, really need it. And you're stuck it out there that doesn't need it. So it's a real clear debate that we're not doing it. And I know you scratch your head as much as I do as to why somebody's candidate. Don't get out there and just pray for that.
Right.
And they worry about a lot of other things.
Well,
I
tell them, you're the one for putting.
What they do is turn around straight into an office and decide, okay, how are we going to raise money? They don't sit down and go, okay, how are we going to raise the team? They don't sit down and go, okay, now how are we going to frame our message? How are we going to answer some of these things? They don't do it. The first thing they do is start going looking for money. And I think that's part of the last go down, and I think that's one of the big reasons we lose. Ronnie, I'm going to pass it back to you, and then I'll let you pass it on around to Jennifer and then on to Dan and back up.
Well, it's just, you know, taking your point one step further. The Republican Party waits until the Democrats attack, and they play defense. It's like, you know, you're the Chicago Bears of the late 90s, and all you know is defense. You've got three wide receivers, but you won't throw the ball, and you just basically go back and go, we're going to counter our defense. Well, eventually, Peyton Manning's going to score against you, and you're going to lose the game. You got three wide receivers. We've got Jim Brulke for chairman of California. We've got control of Congress, the mechanism that's supposed to control funding for all budget matters. They should be standing up telling the American people that this is all because the Democrats and Harry Reid. Ted Cruz is the only person today who named the enemy besides Obama. Obama, Pelosi, Harry Reid all named the enemy. That one wing, that one faction of that one party of one legislative branch, Ted Cruz stood up and called it the Harry Reid shutdown. Not a single other Republican in the nation had the balls to say it's the Harry Reid shutdown. And
yes,
we keep wanting to play defense.
How do you defend against the money issue. Because I believe there most
is,
of the reason...
There is no money issue. In Senate District 16 of California with a 19% Democrat vote, 60% Latino non-English-speaking voters, Andy Vidak, the white rancher, versus the Latino woman union ex-teacher, and we were outspent 20-1. But Andy went out and walked and talked to people. The American people today are desperate for one thing. Shake my hand and make me believe your handshake means something. In the absence of that, they will believe the person who makes the most noise.
So you don't believe
there was
the lobbyists? You don't believe the lobbyists are buying them off?
No, the lobbyists are buying them off, but that whole game can be beat. I personally, I can say this, I'm not being egotistical, I will beat any Democrat 30-1 odds, 30-1 the money, if I can find a candidate who will look you in the face and tell you the truth. No BS, no political spin, you may not agree with it, but it's my opinion, and I can win that campaign. And Congress last night had the chance for the Republican Party to make history. Shut the government down. Oh, my God, look, the world didn't fall apart. Cats and dogs aren't sleeping together. The power's still on. We're still a defended country by our military. The TSA is still going to grope you. We're still going to go ahead. Oh, my God, I'm sorry, your 12-year-old didn't get to see the Washington Memorial. Teach your kid life's not fair. Sorry. But that is a lame excuse to suck it up and go, we're going to cave. Because Joey, the little 12-year-old, didn't get to see the Washington Memorial, and the Republicans go, oh, crap, we're going to get beat. Stand up. The Democrats have not passed a budget since 2008, and the health care bill is flawed beyond belief. Period. Terry Peters in California on Twitter, hippie chick, tweeted all day today. She's looking at $22,000 a year for health care. That's not made-up information. Obama gets up on stage and goes, I want you to meet Mary. Poor little woman's never had insurance, and now she has it. Why aren't John Boehner standing up with Terry Peters from San Diego going, look, this woman can't pay $22,000 a year for health insurance. Bring them out. We're afraid to play the Democrats' game.
Oh, I agree.
We have to play the game. We're getting killed in the PR battle. Like I said when I started the show, Nancy Pelosi, I want to help America. I'm reaching out my hand to you. 2 days ago, she quoted the Constitution for the Declaration of Independence. She said, there's no way we'll ever sit down with terrorists. There's no way we will give an inch because we're the victor. Everybody forgot that because the Republicans aren't reminding them of it. She's psycho. And then this morning, she's the little, here's my hand. Please meet with us. And everyone goes, those Republicans suck.
I agree. I mean,
I'd get on stage and play the video of her going, we will not negotiate with terrorists. The Tea Party should die. Quote that and put it on TV. Do not cave.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, it's just a matter of getting the damn GOP to start thinking that way. I've been arguing we got to fight their battle to do it better. And
well, the GOP as we know it is the people who we elect to government.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, I agree. That's why we need to start at the grassroots.
Yeah, big time.
Get some good, solid conservatives and support them, and people who are not going to be bought out, who are going to stand for their morals and stand for the integrity of this nation. That's what we need, you know.
When were you in California, Dan? When did you live in California? Were you here in 2003?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I worked for Tom McClintock for governor of California, helptom.com. And I remember it was the most amazing collection of stupidity I've ever seen in my life that absolutely churned my stomach. You had the Democrats and the establishment Republicans both on the same page telling me a vote for McClintock is a vote for Bustamante. There was not a chance in hell Bustamante was going to win. But the Republicans who were backing Schwarzenegger were saying, vote for McClintock is a vote for Bustamante. Bob Mulholland, the mouthpiece of the Democrat Party, stood up and said, Gray Davis will never be recalled. And even if he was, vote for McClintock is a vote for Bustamante. And I'm going, how the hell are the Republicans and the Democrat establishment on the same page? I kept getting told, you walk in the poll, you vote for McClintock, you're handing the Democrats the governorship. And I went, no, we're handing it to Schwarzenegger, who's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I cast my vote for McClintock. America needs to stand up. Poizner over Meg Whitman. Chuck DeVore over Carly Fiorina. I love Elizabeth Emkin, and Scott, I'm going to shock you. Dan Hughes over Elizabeth. Bottom line is, people, stand the hell up and get off the couch and get involved. Local elections for school board, fire board, water board, city council, county supervisor, your local assembly person. And I will say this, I had my friend Nikki tonight, who in 2012, when I needed people to phone bank for Mitt Romney and I needed people to get the vote out, she point blank told me, I don't like politics. I don't understand it. I don't get it, and I don't do it. Guess what her text was tonight? Are you effing kidding me? I have to pay $300 more per month for my health care? WTF. And I went, I told you, how come we didn't get to vote on this? You did. In 2012, it was called a presidential election. Yeah, but I didn't understand it. And I text back, no, you didn't listen. This was my conversation this evening with a real person who is having to pay $300 more per month for health insurance for her and her two kids. And she understands it. Oh, my God. I wish I had listened to you back in 2012. Well, guess what? We got 2014. We got 2016. The past is the past. America needs to wake up and understand they're wrong, we're right, period. No excuses.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Elect a conservative who fears God and will vote correctly and will do the right thing, because their ego is not why they live their life. They live their life for Christ, and that's the bottom line. It's not about them. Elect those people to office, and we fix the country.
Well, I agree. Well, we need God-fearing people there who are going to put God right where he belongs, at the center of our country, holding our Constitution. And it's as simple as that. Because
that's a good point right there, Dan. Holding our Constitution. Chuck DeVore is the only elected official I have ever met, and when he ran for U.S. Senate, he never was without the Constitution in his pocket. And Scott and I talked about this last night. Chuck's not even in politics anymore. He's not elected. He's not running for anything. Guess what? He still carries the Constitution in his pocket.
So do I.
I dare American citizens to carry the Constitution in their pocket. Carry it and read it, ladies and gentlemen. Read it every day. Read it when you read the Bible. Read the Bible because God comes first. Read the Constitution because it comes second. Don't believe the hype. The mainstream media is full of crap. Chris Matthews sucks. Get over it. Read the Bible, read the Constitution, and move on.
Right. And if you stick to those two, if you just stick to those two, we'll win. I mean, it's, I carry the Constitution every day. You have a question, I open it up, read right from it, and, you know, we need more people to do that. People have not, they've forgotten the Constitution. They've allowed the left to push it off to the side, along with God. And once we bring God back into this nation, and we need politicians, God-fearing politicians who believe with all their heart and soul with God, in God. And I believe that the Constitution was divinely inspired. I believe,
absolutely.
You know, I believe Jefferson's hand was just being guided by God. And
here's a question for you, Dan. If the men we elect, the men and women that we elect to office, truly believed in Christ and lived their life for Christ, Mitt Romney was a Mormon. Most conservatives are Christian. Do you in 1 second think we wouldn't still be praying in school? We wouldn't still be saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day when school begins? Do you think that there would even be a discussion over Roe v. Wade for the ability to take a third-term cessation of a pregnancy? That wouldn't even be a discussion if this country elected God-fearing leaders. And I said on the show last night, Glenn Beck put it perfectly. There are millions of Americans who vote. They pray with their children at night. They go to bed and they read the Bible. They have dinner and they pray before their meal. They go to church on Sunday. They walk the life of Christ, but they walk into the voting polls and they cast their vote for somebody who represents nothing that you spend your entire life living for.
I agree.
And it's mainly because their pastor's afraid to stand up and say, suck it up. You need to live your life for Christ. That includes electing God-fearing members to lead you, because they will make decisions based on their walk with Christ.
Well, we did that.
Compliments to Mark Mata.
Yeah, go ahead and start.
You hit the nail on the head, Rodney, because that's really our underlying, it's the big problem. And it isn't in our politics. It's in our churches. And we have spent, there was a time when the churches in this country were strong. They were preaching the Bible. They were preaching the basic concepts of how to be good to each other and how to live a good life and a certain standard. And a bulk of what we call Christian churches in this country right now. I believe Christ would be in their turning tables. Oftentimes, but sole purpose is to raise money and make money and to live a luxurious lifestyle. Oftentimes, any kind of real religious teaching is not done from the pulpit. It's all the nice, soft, easy stuff, and that goes on in the leadership and it's in a mess. It's not the way it's designed. And man has done that over and over again in history. We can follow that, and we'll take this as an opportunity to plug Friday morning here on Continuing for Truth Radio. We're walking through the Old Testament. And we find that exact same pattern in the Old Testament. Things were going good, and pretty soon man always wants to do it his own way. And we've treated our churches as, well, we do it however we want. You know, you hear a lot, oftentimes, you know, choose the church of your choice or find one that fits with what you believe. And that was never the purpose. of church. The purpose of the church was to gather behind a set of beliefs. And but a lot of our churches focus on entertainment now and very little on actual worship. We're in a mess there. And it's because we're in a mess there. The Christian nation that we are, the Christian believers in this nation, we've lowered our standard, we've lowered our where our line is, and we've lowered it on where we're going to accept for a politician. You know, we really said a lot about a nation during the Bill Clinton era, because, you know, it was just wrong. It was just wrong all the way around, and character is no longer king, and I'm going to pass it on down to you, Jennifer. It's time to get down there to you if you're there. But, you know, Rodney, you hit the nail on the head because it's where it starts. Our voting patterns would be different if we had our churches stronger, if the people really were living a faith instead of just playing on the high places. Jennifer Montrose, I'm going to pass it to you back down there in Alabama. I think you're back now.
Well, you know, I think it's you know, it's time that we've got to do more. We've got to do more. We just recently had Congressman Backus, who has come out publicly and said, this is District 6 in Alabama. He's U.S. Congressman Backus is not, Spencer Backus will not be running another term. He's going to retire. So just when you thought District 1 in Alabama, special election, Joe Bonner had retired his seat. They've got that going on. That election's going on the 5th of September. November the 5th. But now we've got Congressman Backus, who nobody that I know of likes, and they're glad that he's gone. It's opening up a whole set of, you know. So we are doing our due diligence to try to, you know, vet candidates down here and stuff. And like I said earlier, we've got to hold people's feet to the fire. It's time, you know, because, you know, just because somebody says that they don't like Common Core, you know, look at their voting record. Hold on, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. How many politicians that are already in office were willing to stand with Senator Cruz? You know, you had Mike Lee got up and stood with him. The rest of them were waiting to see how the votes were going to fall and what the people were going to do before they took a stance, you know. And that's not the kind of person that I want in office. You either stand for something or you fall for anything, you know. And if you're waiting around for someone else, you know, no. You know, that's the thing. Frederick Douglass was not in this for notoriety. He was there for people and principle, not party and politics. He was an advisor to 5 U.S. presidents. You know, he was a 47 percenter who became a 1 percenter. And he didn't do that from sitting on the couch. He really, really, really took some action. You know, and he inspired other people to take personal responsibility, you know. And it's time. You know, it's time. We've got to do some things, you know. We've got to do some things. And it's time that we get off the couch and do some things that's going to make a difference. You know, if we don't, you know, I have a serious, you know, I think we're going to have some problems. Going to have some serious problems, you know, and it's time we do some things differently, you know. Stacey Talbush, she's out there fighting a good fight. You know, she's doing the necessary things to, you know, try to fight for her kids' rights, and there's just so much happening, you know. I would love to see, you know, I would love to see that that we do some things to make a difference. You know, I just don't right now. People are screaming. They want things differently. You know, it's not. I don't know. It's a people got to get off their butts and do some things, you know. But, I mean, seems like we've got more people involved in wanting to know who's, you know, winning an American Idol, you know. And if we're not careful, we're going to wake up one day and our guns are going to be taken away from us. I mean, how does it start? You know, it's like the frog that's in the pot of water. All you do is slowly turn up the heat, you know, and I think that's what's happening to us now. I mean, what are the issues that we're dealing with? My favorite place in the state of Alabama, Mentone, Alabama, they want to put a windmill farm up there. We have no wind. Makes no sense, you know. The ideas that people come up with, you know, I don't get it. That's why there was checks and balances put in place. That's why the Constitution was written the way it was, you know, to protect us from ourselves, you know. And I'll pass it back out to Scott.
And I'll just pass it right on down to Rodney and go ahead and pass it around the table one more time.
Oh, actually, I'm driving, so, ladies and gentlemen, I pass it back to Dan because I'm trying not to talk on my phone right now because my Bluetooth is dead.
Okay, Rodney. I agree that we have to get people off their seats. Look at what we did in World War II. Our nation was in trouble. We knew it. And we united as one. And literally everybody united. And we did the impossible. And it shows what we can do, this nation can do. But what's happened is that we've become so I hate to say it, lazy. I mean, everything's given to us. We have all these fancy toys and Twitter and these video games and things like that. The family unit is all but a thing of the past. We're taking away competition. We're taking away the tools to teach our children so they can become productive adults. And we need to start changing that. I mean, this path we're on right now is a path to destruction. The only way we're going to survive is to go back to our foundations, have our teachers teaching what our founding fathers did, and the belief they had, teach them about what happened with the Declaration of Independence and the sacrifices made there. This country has made so many sacrifices over the years. We've been, Jefferson was very, very truthful when he said, the road to freedom is paved by the blood of patriots. And we have to never forget that, is that we as patriots have to stand up and fight. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is but the loss of freedom is one generation away. And very, very true. We are losing our freedom. And if we don't turn our backs and start getting out there and saying enough is enough, we will lose our freedom. And I keep on, you know, my thing is return to our origins, listen to, you know, my Red Skelton thing. Why? Because he tells the truth. He shows where we were as a nation not that long ago, 1969. Even in the midst of, you know, all the turmoil we were having in the 60s, we still had social belief. We still believed in our country. And we still had pride in our country. And that pride has been taken away. We have to raise Old Glory, treat her the way she should be treated. We have to teach our children about Francis Scott Key, about what we went through to make this country so great. I mean, as you said, Bill Gates would never have made it. We would never have Windows if it wasn't for the educational system that we had in the 60s. You know, we seem to think that we have to change everything and take away all the hurdles, and we're going to solve everything. No, we're only going to create a mess. And we're already seeing that mess. We have to turn around and say, no, we got to return back. We got to go back to 1866. And where we had suffered a major, major crisis in this country, and we had to rebuild, and we had to take the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and we had to figure out a way to work together. And we did it. I mean, the thing is, we got to build with, part of the success with this is we have to bring the two parties back together. Don't concentrate on our differences, but concentrate on where we agree and build from there. And then say, listen, you know, most people in this country, even Democrat or Republican, are moderate. And if, you know, us as Republicans reach out and say, no, we don't want the people who can't work to starve, the people who are ill, who can't work, to die, you know, that's not our goal. Our goal is to make sure every able-bodied person is working. And our sole goal is to do that. And we can't accomplish that by taxation. And explain that every time you take you raise a tax dollar, you take a dollar out of the economy. And when you take a dollar out of the economy, you weaken it. And see, the Democratic Party tax the rich, tax the corporations. And we have to explain to them that this is damaging See, when you tax the corporations, the corporations can't hire. When you add on extra regulations, you know, through EPA, you can't. It costs the company more money. They have to cut somewhere, and that's with employees. And we got to show that taxation is a way to destruction. If we want people, if we want a middle class again, we got to lower our taxes, get rid of the 100 departments in Washington that do nothing but spend money, get our government smaller and more efficient, and that way we will not need the tax dollars. We can lower our tax dollars, which will put more money in everybody's pocket, which will mean that more people will be able to have more toys, which will put, just by them buying their more toys, will put more people back to work, and we can strengthen our country. And we can increase manufacturing in the same way, and we show that we stop relying on foreign oil and start relying on our own natural resources, then we can build even a stronger economy. Right now, we're on this, you know, these quote-unquote environmentalists, like with these stupid windmills, they don't talk about the 30,000 golden eagles, bald eagles, and other raptors being killed, along with tens of thousands of migratory birds. I bet any person, if you take a ride underneath a windmill, look how many dead birds are on the ground. Yeah, and this is not environmentally helping us. And these solar panels are doing the same thing. They're just killing the ground animals. You know, tell the truth. It's all this environmental crap, nothing but a scam. And we bring the people back together, because we can become as one. We can start rebuilding this nation. Fighting against the far left and the far right. Let's try to work in the middle and bring the both sides of the middle together. And then the far left and the far right will have no choice but to change. And with that, I'm on to you, Scott.
And we're coming up to the top of the hour. You know, Dan, so important, some of these things. I'm glad you mentioned some of the solar panel stuff and the EPA stuff and the environmental movement stuff, because it's another example of what we were talking about a while ago. I'm an environmentalist through and through, man. I live up here within 20 minutes of standing at the base of the giant redwoods. It takes me 20 minutes to be there. And I want to take care of that, and I want to make sure that this beautiful creation is taken care of. But I don't believe that the left's solutions to environmental issues are designed to take care of the environment. I don't believe that. And Jonathan Barbie doesn't believe that either. And we're going to take this as an opportunity to help give him some help. You know, go to Barbie, P-S-C, that's Barbie, B-A-R-B-E-E, P-S-C. .com, and go check him out. Go check out his candidacy. You know, he's running for a local office in Alabama. That's all right, because Alabama rocks. The public service commissioner's got an important part, and he's ready to go out and fight the EPA. He's ready to go out and fight some of these insane things that are being pushed on us that don't accomplish the task at hand. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They've all got another purpose behind them, and he's willing to fight out against that. So with that, we're coming up to the top, and we're going to have to end the show right at the top of the hour tonight. I've got a busy night ahead of me still. I've got a bunch of stuff I've got left to do. So we want to start running in with closing remarks. I'm going to pass it to Jennifer, and then I'm going to pass it to Dan, and then Rodney, I'll let you close out the show with us, and then we'll let Red Skelton lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance as we close out. Jennifer, you know, Alabama rocks, and you know, when we get, you guys have got in Alabama 7 some things that the EPA and some different policies that are designed not to help, but to really, and oftentimes, to destroy. You see that more than anything in Alabama 7. It's the poorest district in the country, and you've got the illustration of it right there. So I'm going to pass it to you, and we'll pass it around and close out the show. We might have lost Jennifer. So, Dan, we'll pass it to you on to Rodney and close out the show.
Okay. Well, when it comes to the environment, and you said like you're a big environmentalist, I'm a sailor. I went around the world with wind, not with motors. You hear all these environmentalists and they jump on their power boats. Well, I let the wind take me around. I'm big environmental, very, very big environmentalist. My rules on my boat were, if you haven't eaten it first and you throw it overboard, you're following it. And the environment means a lot to me. But we got to get together, people. And we got to stop the fighting, unite, and let's start rebuilding this nation. And place God where he belongs. For all you Christians, it's 80% of the population. Stop voting for some goofball. Make sure your candidate is a God-fearing conservative. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Rodney.
I think we've got Rodney and Jennifer. We've lost them somewhere. I'm hoping NSA didn't come steal them. They did. Dan, it's the both of us disappeared. Folks, we don't show up next week. Come looking for us. Chase down NSA first. They might be after us. But
they might be.
I know it. You know, we've had great discussion tonight, and it's important discussion, and it's the state of our nation. And, you know, it's not really difficult. It's really not a difficult message. Ronald Reagan, and Rodney goes back to Ronald Reagan a lot. I go back to Ronald Reagan a lot. I cut the picture out of my history book 1 year, I think my sophomore year, of Ronald Reagan, and I had it plugged into my wall the entire rest of the time that I grew up at home. And in fact, I think I took it with me to college. And he stood for a time when the discussion was about the basics. And we know that Ronald Reagan, one of the big things he talked about over and over and over again, is that the states are a lot better suited a lot of times to handle certain things better than the federal government. The federal government just doesn't, it just gets too big and too bulky, and you end up with a lot of waste and fraud and abuse, and it's just better a lot of times to just let the states handle a lot of stuff. That's the founding concept behind our Constitution, was that the federal government needed to be limited to its power. That was where all the other countries had gone wrong, with their federal government, their big nationwide government, would do good sometimes, and sometimes it would get out of line, and sometimes it would try and control too much, and sometimes it would try and micromanage. So our founders, in that hot, stinking summer of 1787, in that little room in Philadelphia, some of our founding fathers came together and they said, we've got to do something.
Oh, I agree.
I'm going to mute everybody because, oh, it seems like it might have been Rodney. I think it was Rodney was having some, so I put him on mute. You know, the men in that room, they understood this basic thing, and that's why we're Frederick Douglass Republicans, because Frederick Douglass believed the same thing. Frederick Douglass believed that the federal government had some purposes, but that smaller, local, more centralized government led to a better way. And we've got an out-of-control federal government. We've got some out-of-control politicians. We've got some out-of-control judges and DAs. We've got some out-of-control cops. We've got a lot of good men and women serving this country, firefighters and police officers and sheriffs. We've got some great, great men overseas and women overseas fighting for our freedom. And they're very respectable. We've got some leadership. That character, when it all comes down to it, is a mess. So Rodney says he was on the other line, and he's there. And Jennifer says, hold on. So I'm going to pass it to you, Rodney. Let's try and pass it to Jennifer, and then if not, we'll let Red Skelton close out the show.
Well, you know, I was just looking at the fact that, you know, between last night's radio show, and thank you very much, Scott, for doing that for me, and I look forward to every Monday, but it's just Dan and I have talked about it. You and I have talked about it. When I ran for vice chair, we talked about it. People need to quit worrying about being so worried about you. It's not about you. You know, last night, closing out our show, and we kind of got cut off because there wasn't enough time left, but you wanted me to talk about myself, and I told you, I'm not comfortable talking about myself because I don't believe it's about me. You know, and you talk about my living in a shed. I live in a shed for 12 straight days, 24/7, every single Christmas. Started it 9 years ago. I do it because the children of our deployed soldiers deserve it. It's not about me. And last night I decided, you know what, I'll tell the story because you wanted me to. But it's not about you. It's not about John Boehner. It's not about Ted Cruz. It's not about Harry Reid. It's not about Obama. It's about millions and millions of Americans who want to be able to live their life for themselves. They want to be able to go on, and every single person I've ever met, including people who claim to be Democrats, and they should be conservative, have one thing in their mind. And Scott, Dan, you do it for the grandkids. Scott, you do it for your kids. I want to be the person who gives my children a better life than I had. That is core value right there. And Dan, the only thing our forefathers forgot was to somehow make it easier to throw the bum out.
Because I agree with that.
And they also forgot the one thing Clinton and Obama had in common. As far as I'm concerned, you have to have sworn an oath of office to defend this nation, this country, the citizens, and the Constitution, and have served the military before you can become the commander-in-chief. That is my biggest pet peeve. The founding fathers forgot that one, because we've only had two presidents that did not serve their country and swear an oath of office to the Constitution. And that's coming from me, ex-U.S. Navy. My grandfather was a Navy man. My father was Marines. I was Navy. My son is currently in Marine Corps, making me four generations of men who've sworn an oath of office to defend the Constitution for real, not for pandering to the camera and waving your hands and blaming somebody else and telling them how it's all their fault. You know, and that's what America needs to realize. Even if you agree with health care, even if you think Obama's doing the right thing, the way he's doing it is wrong. And even here locally, we have the Sacramento Kings. Kevin Johnson, ex-basketball player, major investors, keep the Kings in Sacramento. Seattle wants to buy them. I agree. I want an Arco Arena. I want the Sacramento Kings here. I want to revitalize downtown Sacramento. But the way Kevin Johnson is going about it is the wrong way. And so although I agree with the end result, and you can agree with Obama, ladies and gentlemen, but he's going about it the wrong way. He's destroying our Constitution because he believes the end satisfies the need for the past. And that is detrimentally wrong to the foundation of this country. With that, I pass it to Dan.
And I'll pass it over to Jennifer. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes, I am.
There.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I would encourage listeners, you know, to go and take a look at who's running in this 2014 election cycle. Look at what's going on in the primary and take a look at what's going on with the candidates that are running for school board and stuff. Let's get ourselves informed and, you know, really find out, you know, look beyond the party itself and look at the values and how people are voting. You know, look at the things that people are standing for and look at all that stuff. And then once you have decided that the candidate that is aligned with what you're, you know, the same values that you have, let's take a look at that and see what we can do is get involved and get these people elected that are going to be there to support school choice, you know, and that are going to have our children's best interests at heart, you know. You know, we don't need to turn out these robots that are going to be factory workers. We want children to be inspired. And I know that's one thing that, you know, I keep hearing all the time is there's not enough of that going on. And I think if we can get out there and do those things and make a difference and start talking to your neighbors and, you know, if you need to go in places where, you know, and meet up with people that are having coffee and, you know, and just be willing to engage. If you have issues and don't know what to say to people, there's some really good books out there. I know there's one that Kay Call has, Frederick Douglass Republicans. You can go to www.frederickdouglassrepublican.com. That's singular, frederickdouglassrepublican.com. That's Douglass with two S's. There's a really good book that he has that really teaches you how to engage. And I would really encourage that. You know, we're finding there's some, I've got a friend of mine, Kenneth Battle, in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, they're really engaging out there in the community and leaps and bounds and making a difference. And, you know, people are getting excited again. I think a lot of people got depressed in 2012, you know, when the election cycle hit. And now people are starting to wake up. Even those that, I think, voted for our current president are beginning to question that. Scott?
Exactly, Jennifer. And we want to thank all of our listeners. We've had a great show. We had some great discussion. A lot of stuff going on in our country. And, you know, we, for a long time, we had a great blatant patriotism. And our schools were proud to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And our people were proud to fly the flag. And I think we've lost part of that. I think that's part of our problem. But, you know, Red Skelton says it beautifully, and we let him say it each week, and we're going to let him do it tonight. Red Skelton, Welcome to Contending for Truth Radio.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it's stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.